Thank you, Brother Chris. Amen. And God bless you. Thank you. Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. Remember the birth of our Lord. And I'm glad that we're here and we begin to celebrate that memory and that think about what He did for us all through this month. And generally, I start right off the first Sunday of December with a message about Christmas, about the Christmas coming of Christ, Old Testament prophecy. But I've been dealing with written in red, and I could not get away from this for this morning. And I don't know what now we'll do for the next few Sundays, but I feel like maybe we'll deal with Christmas themes. But this is Christmas, amen. Jesus Christ came, and I thank the Lord for that. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 4. Luke, chapter number 4, and I want to kind of finish this one little text, this little passage where we've been dealing with for the last couple of Sundays, and felt like the Lord would have me to do that this morning. I trust it to be a blessing to your heart. Again, welcome to all our friends and guests who are here this morning in the building and all those on the radio and the internet audience. We're sure glad you're part of the services too. I run across people all the time through the week who are, have say they hear us on the radio either Sunday morning or in this afternoon broadcast at 2 o'clock. And then many who hear us on the internet, people from way off watch us and hear us, and we send greetings to all our friends who are watching now by the means of internet, and thank the Lord for that. In the book of Luke, chapter number 4, we've been tracing the words of Jesus written in red, and we followed Him from the time when He was first in the temple as a young boy at age of 12, and then when He came back on the scene, and when He was baptized, and then when He went into temptation. And when He came out of the temptation, He made His way on up into the northern area above Jerusalem, into an area called Galilee, and He stayed there. He did the first miracle there in Cana of Galilee and so on. He went back to the temple to cleanse the temple, met Nicodemus there, and then went through Samaria and the woman at the well. And then He came back into the land of Canaan. And now we find Him, He's going back home. And the message this morning's a little bit different, but I hope it'll speak to your heart. I'm thankful for all the memories that I have of a child of Christmas and all that goes on. And people try to remember from one year to the next where they put what decoration. Sometimes people take pictures and they want to put it right back at the very same place. But there's nothing wrong with decorating a little bit differently this year than last year. Nothing wrong with doing those type of things. But sometimes there is a routine in people's lives. They know they're going to do this, do that around Christmas time. And that familiarity with all of those things sometimes loses the wonder of it. And the same thing can be true of when we think about the birth of our Lord. We can get too familiar with Him. The cross should always move us. The blood should always move us. I listened to those in the wedding party as they talked about things in the past. And I wept when they wept as the things were real to them. I mean, when they, Chris and Katie were little girls and things they did and things they said. And they remember like yesterday, of course, compared to our age, it was yesterday for them. It wasn't long. But there are things in your life that when you think about them, they're just as vivid as they were the day they happened. You know personally that Regina and I, our oldest daughter, is in heaven. She died of leukemia. And if we begin to talk about it, begin to think about it, it's just like it just happened. We can remember it like that. But sometimes the things of Christ and the things of church and Christmas even, it loses its significance because we're so familiar with it. Now, the reason I believe God burdened my heart in this passage, you'll understand in a few moments, that I want to deal with this morning before I get into Christmas-type messages, I guess you'd say. But look in the book of Luke, and let me begin reading in verse 16. And He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood for to read. Now, Jesus, when He begins His public ministry, is about 30 years of age. So He's lived here in Nazareth. This is His hometown. This is His Benson. This is His Anger. This is His Willow Springs, wherever that is. Willow Springs is spread all over everywhere. You get 42 is Willow Springs, and down 210 is Willow Springs. I don't know exactly where downtown Willow Springs is at, but that's maybe your home. Because he's going back home. He's had this wonderful experience of being baptized, and the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove, and God speaking from heaven. And this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And then he goes in and he has that one-on-one battle with Satan in the great temptation. For 40 days he didn't eat or drink anything. And then he's gone and he's done miracles already. But now he's coming back home. He comes back to where people know him as a little boy. They knew him as a teenager. Now I can tell you this. You don't want to know everything in my past. I don't want to know everything in my past. Because, you know, there are things that I did that I'm ashamed of that God's forgiven me of. But Jesus Christ, when he came on the scene at 30 years of age, he had a history in this community, but there was not one thing anybody could say about him negatively. He was never caught stealing. He was never caught cheating on a test or anything else. He never used profanity. He never drank anything like that when he was growing up. Because I assure you that when the Jews began to seek things to accuse him of, they would have went back with a fine-tooth comb, just like he was running for, you know, Supreme Court justice. They'd run through everything from kindergarten through. If it was 30 years ago and he'd done anything wrong, they'd have found it. But not one thing. He lived as a child, a sinless life. You say, well, he was God. But the Bible says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Do you know that he had the same thoughts that you had as a teenage boy? Do you know that he experienced all the other things that you experienced in your early adult life? All those things. But he did not sin in any of that. And they watched all of that. They knew who he was. They knew he was Joseph's son in their way of thinking. They knew all about him. And so he comes back home. And during those days when he was growing up, he had developed this lifestyle of going to the synagogue. He was faithful to go to the synagogue. And so we look at verse number 16 again, and it says this, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And that we've dealt with that last Sunday. He both describes a description of loss, but also the deliverance of the lost. The lost are poor. They're completely bankrupt. They have nothing spiritual, nothing of no righteousness. There is in me no good thing, according to the Apostle Paul. The lost are brokenhearted. They're captives. They're blind and they're bruised. And that word bruised means more than just falling down and skinning your knee. It means crushed. They have been crushed. And he preached unto them the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of the Lord's favor. And it means that this is the dispensation of grace. He said, although these things are real in your life, that there's a deliverance. I am the deliverer. I can save you. I can forgive you. I can open blind eyes. I can heal. And he demonstrates that already physically, and he'll do it more in his ministry. But when he closed the book, verse 20, closed the book and he gave it to the minister and he sat down. All the eyes of them of the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, I do not believe that's all he said, but that's all that's recorded. That one statement that he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. That is, that I am the Messiah. I am anointed of the Father. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I am to preach and to deliver and so on, all those things. Now, watch the next statement. And here's where we're coming to. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? We know him, but we've never heard him speak like that before. He had that anointing that made the difference. I was talking to Lane. We were standing outside that door, and he was looking at all the crowd in here. And he said, I don't see how you get up in front of all that crowd and preach every Sunday. I said, you know, believe it or not, I'm pretty shy. I said, if I'm in another setting, I don't even have much to say most of the time. I said, but when I come to preach, there's an anointing that God called me, and I know God's called me to preach. And God gives that anointing to preach. And when Jesus spake, they had heard his voice many times. They heard him laugh as a little child. They heard him talk as a teenage boy. They heard him as a young man and all those things. They'd heard his voice before, but this was different. He had the anointing of the Father on him, and he was beginning his ministry, and they had not seen him that way before. Now, they'd heard stories, because look at the rest of the story. They said, is this not Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you see, he knows more than what he's hearing. He knows their heart. He knows that they're looking at him, and they're saying, he's just like us. He's nothing special. And they say in verse 23, and he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. In other words, he's going to be preaching to them about righteousness, about sin, about getting right with God, and they're going to turn the tables on him. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. They've heard about his miracles. They heard about perhaps the nobleman's son that was healed and all those things. Heard about the water turned to wine and all of that. They've heard about all the miracle, and they want him to do something there to verify or to give credence to his statements. Notice what it said in verse 24. I'm talking a little bit about the problem of getting so familiar that you lose the wonder. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, and that is the Old Testament prophet Elijah, and the prophet, and none of them was cleansed saving Naaman the Syrian. Now he's telling them the story, and he says, in the days of Elijah, that great prophet, there were a lot of widows in Israel, but he was sent by God to a Gentile widow. And he said, in the days of Elisha, there were many who had leprosy, but he healed or was responsible for the healing of the king of Syria, and his name was Naaman. And boy, there's two things that got their attention. These are non-Jews. These are Gentiles. And that God's men were sent to them, and they experienced blessing where Israel was not blessed. Now, here's the thing. Because they do not accept him as Messiah, because they do not stand in awe of him as the incarnate Christ, they do not receive his word. And if you don't accept the word of God, you don't get the blessing of God. They said, we want you to do miracles here like you did there. And what he's saying to them is this, the reason you're not going to see any is because you will not accept me and you will not accept my word. The blessing comes through believing the Messiah, the believing in the Christ and through his word. Notice how they react. And all they of the synagogue, when they heard these things, now just prior to this, notice what it said, and all bear him witness of the wonderful, gracious word. That's in verse 22. And the whole thing changes in verse 28. And all they of the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They, a while ago, were filled with wonder. A while ago, they were filled with the idea, these are gracious words. But in just in a matter of few words here, now it completely changed, and they're all filled with wrath because of what he said. And he said, verse 29, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went his way. That's a supernatural event. He just left them standing there. They couldn't even find him, couldn't catch him. He was gone, gone. Now, all of this is just not fulfiller. There's a reason that God put this in the Bible. Will you bow with me for just a moment of prayer? Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would help me now. Father, I'm so thankful that for all these years now, for 50 years, you allowed me to preach the Word of God. But Lord, while this book to me is precious and while the truths in it are real, Father, I pray that I will never lose the sense of respect for this Word. I pray, God, that I will always understand that while Jesus is my Savior and He's my very best friend, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is God. He was God incarnate in human flesh. And Lord, I love you and reverence you. And I thank you for what you've done for me. And Father, when I come to this season and I think about the birth of our Savior, when I think about the manger, Father, I pray it will not be one of many Christmas stories of other things that are now secular. I pray, Father, it will be extremely unique, extremely fresh and real. And Father, I pray that I will still stand and wonder every day that a virgin would conceive or could conceive, and that God, you'd allow your Son to become flesh, and that you'd allow Him to live a sinless life and bear all my sins and die on the cross. I pray, God, that Christmas will stay special, that all of those things will be real. And God, help it not to be just repetitious, but help us to reverence it. Help us, our Father, not just to be familiar with it, but our Father, exercise great faith in what you did. Lord, I pray that as we experience the joy of Christmas, that we shall ever praise you. And Lord, this will be a special season. But Jesus had not come, if he'd not been willing to become flesh, we would never be saved. We'd never have a home in heaven. So God, I pray now for your anointing. And God, I confess that there's no good thing in me. And God, I must have your anointing now. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How did you feel the first time you really ever heard God speak to you? How did you feel the first time you heard a message and it wasn't like you were just sitting there waiting for it to get over with and God spoke to you? It seemed as if everything else went a blur around you and all of a sudden God has spoke to your heart. It may have been the time you got saved, God spoke to you and you came under deep conviction. It may be that you were there and you were living a life or there was something in your life that wasn't right and somehow or another, although the preacher didn't know anything about it, your family didn't know anything about it, God knew, and somehow or another through what was said, God spoke to you. And immediately you felt great conviction and you knew it wasn't emotionalism. You knew it was God. How did you feel the first time? The first time, maybe after you were saved, and the reality of heaven broke on you. I was talking to Brother T.G. about we were signing the Bible for Chris and Lane yesterday. And I mentioned to him that Regina and I had the privilege of signing first. And he said, I hope you didn't get my verse. And I said, well, what is that? He said, John 14. And he told me about when God made it real to him, just like I remembered when God made it real to me on the day of our little girl's funeral. There is a place called heaven. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We're not, so I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive into myself. That where I am there, you may be also. I remember that like it was yesterday. I remember where I was sitting when he spoke to me. How did you react the first time? Well, these people have that similar experience. Jesus Christ, who'd grown up in their neighborhood, when he stood up to read and then he spoke, there was something distinctly different about what he was saying. Not just the words, but the way he spoke. His speech was different. He said this in the Word of God, it's recorded in that same fourth chapter. Look at verse number 36. This is a later occasion. He's gone back up to Capernaum. But they said this in verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake one to themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out. It was different when they heard it. How did you react to it? How did it speak? When God spoke to you, not just the repetition, not just something you, and many times you'd heard that truth, but when it got real to you, how did you respond? Oh, what a thrill it was for those of you who know Christ, and when he spoke to you and convicted you of your sin and you received Christ, and when you felt that in your heart, oh, what a blessing it was to know that God had spoke peace to your heart. But now when you think back and you go through your emotions of reading the Word of God, do you have those similar experiences? Is the Word of God still a thrill to you? Does God still make it real to you? And when you hear the Word of God, is there something just bubbles up inside of you? It ought to be that way all the time. Because tragically, that's not what happened here. They heard the Word of God and they said, oh, what gracious words came from his lips. And just a matter of moments later, they were filled with wrath, anger because of what he said. The reaction was totally different to what the Lord said to them. Notice what they said in verse 22, and all bear him record and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Oh, I got to think about those gracious words. I just took a few minutes and just thumbed through this book at the gracious words of our Lord. Will you look with me and let's just go through even just this book for just a few moments, and let's look at just a couple of these verses and see what it said. Notice I mentioned to you here in this same chapter, they said that his words were with great power and authority. But when you look on a little bit further down in here, you'll find this. In verse chapter number 7, look at over at verse number 9. In chapter 7 and verse 9, here's a wonderful statement. He said this, and when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said to the people that followed, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, and no, not in Israel. What a gracious word. Here's this man who comes believing. And he said, Master, I'm not worthy for you to come get under my roof, but if you'll say the word, it can be healed. And he said, oh, I've not heard such great faith in all of Israel. Man, listen. What a gracious word fell from his lip in regard to that. Look over in chapter 7. Also, look at verse number 12 and notice what it says in this passage of Scripture. But now when he come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of a woman, of a mother, and she was a widow. And much people in the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the brier, that's the casket, and they that bare him stood still. And the Lord said, young man, I say to thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he was delivered him to his mother. Oh, what gracious words. He touched that casket, and he told that dear mother, don't you weep. Don't you weep. Something moved in his heart, and he spoke to that young man. What gracious words came out of the mouth of our Lord. Look at verse 47 in this same chapter. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, this woman, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, and she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Oh, what gracious words. She'd sinned much, but she is forgiven. What gracious words. All the sins that I've ever committed when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said the same thing to my heart. Thy sins are forgiven thee. What gracious words. If you go through here, look over in chapter number 8 and verse number 48. And I didn't do a lot of great research. I was just turning my Bible, looking at these, and they're everywhere. He turned to that woman who had an issue of blood all of her life. She'd done wasted all of her living. In verse number 46, and it says this, and when Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and fell down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Oh, what gracious words came from the lips of our Lord to this woman who'd exhausted every means of healing, and God healed her at that particular time. What a blessing. Turn over to chapter number 9 and look at verse number 56. And just to kind of get an idea of the gracious words of our Lord, he said in verse 16, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Oh, what gracious words came from his lips. I didn't come to condemn. I came to save. I didn't come to destroy. I came to give you life and to give you a great life. Look over in chapter number 10. And you could go through, I'm skipping over a lot of written and read, but just these few things. Notice what he said to the disciples in chapter 10 and verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you. He sent them out with great power. They cast out demons. They came back rejoicing that even the demons were subject to him. But he said this in verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Oh, listen, he said, you need to keep praising me. Rejoice that your name's written in heaven. Rejoice that you're saved. What gracious words come out of his lips. He's given them great power to heal and to do all those things, but he reminds them, you just keep praising me for heaven and for what I've done for you. In chapter number 11, he gives the Lord's Prayer. Look at verse 2. And when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And all this wonderful prayer, gracious words that came out of his lip. Look over in chapter number 11 and verse number 28. And I'll share this with you. And he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and that keep it. Gracious words that come out of his lips. You get blessed by hearing the word of God and keeping the word of God. But then I skipped over a good bit and I went all the way to the end of the book almost to chapter 23. Turn over to chapter number 23 and let me read you these gracious words that came out of his lips. And you'll remember the setting. There are two thieves, one on either side. One railed on him and said, if you're Christ, won't you save us and yourself? And the other said, don't you understand who you're talking to? You're talking to the Son of God. And he said, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? And verse 43, the gracious words of our Lord. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. What a gracious word. A man who's lived his life in sin, a man who's dying on the cross, and now grace speaks to him. And grace says to him, you be with me in paradise today. Thank God for that. Gracious words that he spoke to them. And what a wonderful thing they were. And that was just a sampling of the book of Luke. But you can go through all the Bible and you'll find them everywhere in there. But here's the situation. He's with this folk who are real familiar with him now. They've got so familiar, they've lost the wonder. They can't appreciate him. Do you still believe that with God all things are possible? Do you still believe that God can supply all of your needs? Do you still believe that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you? You have to be careful, because you'll get so familiar with the things of God, the things of Christ, it'll become commonplace to you and you'll lose the wonder and the amazement of his word and his power and what he can do. These people now will not accept the message of the prophet nor the prophet himself. And when they don't accept him and they don't accept his words, then they do not receive the blessing. They miss out on it. And he gave two illustrations. He gave one about a widow woman. Now she lives in a Gentile world. And the prophet has ran out for a while. He's kind of got sent out by the brook and the ravens feed him and so on. And then he says, you get up and go now. I've prepared a woman there to feed you. He's prepared this woman to take care of him. In this woman's life, tragedy's come. Her husband's died. She's got a son. She's poverty stricken. She's got just a few sticks and a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. And he said, God said, I prepared her to feed you. Now, I don't see that in that story. If you go in there and tell her, boy, God's really blessed you. He's got you set up perfectly for a miracle. She wouldn't understand that either. But God, the Holy Ghost, knew what was going to happen. And he knew that she would obey the Word of God. And so when the man of God comes with the Word of God, she responds and she gets the blessing of God. And if you don't hear the man of God and you don't receive the Word of God and you don't believe the Word of God, you miss the blessing. And so Elijah comes to her house and he said, what have you got? She said, I've just got a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil and we've got a few sticks. We're going to make one little hoe cake. And he don't say hoe cake, but you know what I'm talking about. Going to make just one little piece of bread. And he said, we're going to eat that. And then she said, we're going to die. We're going to die. And he said, I want you to take that and make me bread. And you know what the Bible said? She did it. She took those few little sticks, she made a little fire, she mixed up that little bit of oil and that little bit of meal, and she made him something. And then he said, go back to the meal barrel and back to the oil barrel, back to the oil reservoir. And she went then, and she went the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and for at least 3 years, the meal never ran out, and the oil never ran out, because she heard the man of God, and she heard the Word of God, and she listened and obeyed the Word of God. But he says to this crowd at his hometown, you're not going to believe me. You're not going to accept me, and you'll miss the blessing. Then he told her about Naaman. Joe Barry sings about Naaman. And he said there was a Syrian king. He had leprosy. And a little captive girl, a little slave girl there, who was held captive, said to her mistress, I wish the king was in Israel because there's a man of God there, Elisha, and he could help him. I know he could help him. And so the king, they go and tell the king, and king reluctantly responds, and he sends a message, said, you tell Elisha to come over here. Elijah said, I'm not coming over there. And he said, I can tell you what you can do to get healed. I'm paraphrasing the story a little bit. He said, you go down to the River Jordan. And he said, you dip yourself in River Jordan 7 times. That's ridiculous. The king of Syria said, there are hundreds of rivers in Syria. Why should I go down there? You ought to go down there because that's what the man of God said. You ought to go down there because God's orchestrated this. It's not just a man. It's not just the prophet Elisha. It is God. God's chosen a man. God gave the man a message. If you'll listen to the man of God, if you'll listen to the message, you'll get a blessing. And so he said, he went, and the Bible said he dipped 7 times. And when he came up the last time, his skin was as pure as a baby's skin. He believed God and was healed. And he says to his hometown crowd, you don't get blessed because you don't believe the man of God. You don't hear and heed the Word of God and believe the Bible, believe the Word of God. And he said, you're not going to because you've got so too familiar with me. You see me only as a human and not as the Messiah, not as the anointed one of God. Now, let's make it practical today. How do you see all of this? Do you still see this Bible as a supernatural book? Do you still believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think? The day that we buried our little girl, my brother was saved. He trusted Christ. He's not always been faithful to the house of God. But I believe with all my heart he trusted Christ that day. And as we began to talk to him about it, he said, I can't hardly see that. I said, I'm going to just tell you something, Howard. You may not can understand all of it, but if you respond in faith to it, you'll see it. You'll see it. When you take that step of faith, now, I'm not advocating movies, but I know you go to movies. I know you watch them on TV. You don't go to movies. You might watch them on Netflix somewhere. But I kind of like the Indiana Jones thing. I just like that. And I remember the one time when he was trying to go over to this cave, and there was just a great ravine. It was so deep you couldn't even and you just couldn't even see the bottom of it. And yet he had to get from this side to that side. And I remember the graphics on it and how they did it and cinematography or whatever it was. But he took some sand and he threw that sand out. And the sand, of course, fell everywhere except where there was an invisible walkway. And then it pans back and you can see it then. You couldn't see it before, but you could see it then, and he went right across. Now, things like that speak to me. I get a sermon about everywhere. I got a sermon out of Mrs. Opal's White Flowers the other day. I'll preach that one of these days. But what he could not see was really there. And when he stepped on it, when he stepped in faith, he could see it. These people were not responding faith. The reason they're not going to get blessed there in Nazareth is because they will not believe the Word of God. He says to those people who came and said, what must we do to inherit eternal life? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Can I tell you the only way to go to heaven is to believe the Word of God and accept Him by faith and you'll be saved. Take that step of faith. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting Him as your personal Savior. And for me and you who are now in this Christmas season, I want it to be special to you. I want it to be real to you. I want you to get somewhere and read the Christmas story again. Tonight, Ms. Betty Jo was sent, they want me to read the Christmas story again. I want it to be real. I don't want it to be repetitious. I want it to be real. And whenever I read it to my family, we always read the Christmas story on Christmas Eve with our family before we open gifts. I want it to be real. I don't want it to be something we go through every year, just an annual thing. Don't get so familiar with it, it gets commonplace to you and you lose the wonder of it, the wonder of it. I like those disciples on the road to Emmaus and what they said. Did not our hearts burn within us as He opened to us the Scriptures? You say, Brother Billy, what happens? And suppose I'm like that now. Suppose I've got to where this word, it doesn't thrill me like it used to. Well, let me say to you, I want to remind you what it is. I mentioned it to Lane and Chris yesterday. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It is alive and powerful. And when you begin to read this word, you don't have to make it alive. It already is alive. And the Holy Spirit of God will burn it into your heart and make it real. You ask Him to touch you, to make you receptive to it, and ask God to speak real things to you. And I believe, help my unbelief, and God will do that for you. I'm praying that, my dear friend, when you read the Christmas story, it'd be so real you can hear the animals. I pray it'd be so real that you can hear the angels. I pray it'd be so real that you can see the stars in the sky. I pray to be so real that you'll understand what God did, that God sent His Son, and He was not just a baby. He was God incarnate in human flesh, heaven's gift, grace embodied, grace with a face, as Brother Brad preaches about. It's Jesus who is our Savior and Lord, and I thank God for it. And He came to give us joy because He forgave all of our sin and everlasting life. I don't want it to get commonplace to you. I want you to get blessed. If you'll believe the Word of God, if you'll believe the man of God, if you respond in faith, it'll be real to you. And the blessings come because of that. And thank God for it. Blessed is he said in one of those verses I read to you, who hears and doeth the Word of God. Will you bow your heads in prayer? I just had that in my heart to share with you. And I guess that's what God wanted me to do this morning. That I don't want to be, I mean, listen, I've seen right many Christmases, been through right many of them. And you have too, some of you, a lot more than me. Some of the kids, it'll all be brand new to them. And we took the kids down to see the metal lights, some of them the other night. And Cassidy's be 2 years old in a few days. And she went last year when she was just 1 year old. But she saw it this time. Not sure how much she saw last time, but I watched the twins. They are 4 years old now. They were still in awe. But after a while, people get used to that kind of little stuff, and it's not so important to them anymore. But to see it in the face of a child, when they see the lights, see all the thing, As I was studying this, reading this passage of Scripture, I said, Lord, I don't want to get like those folk in Nazareth. I don't want to think you're just another man. I don't want to get used to the Christmas story or to the Word of God or to the move of God or to the touch of God or to people getting saved. God, I want it to be new and real and fresh. I want it to be just like I saw it for the first time. God, help my heart to thrill at the gracious words that pour from your lips. Not just words on paper, not just words I've heard before, but God, I pray I feel the power and the anointing of God in it. And God, help it to be in my life. I hope you'll pray that way. I hope you'll pray that way. And if you're here this morning, can I say to you this truth from the Word of God? The Lord Jesus Christ, He said, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if by faith you'll respond to Him today, He'll save you. In the media audience, if by faith today you're lost, you know that you're not saved, would I encourage you right now to turn to Him in faith? He's already paid the sin debt. It is a free gift, but it must be received. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you in faith right now call on Him? Would you understand He's there? The Holy Ghost of God is there. He's hearing you. He knows you. He died for you. And He's your personal Savior. Respond to Him in faith. Call on Him here in the building. And if you're here in the building, you're a Christian. If somehow or another, just the weariness of the flesh or the busyness of this time, that you've lost the wonder of it. This is just Joseph's son. It's not special. Oh, it's got to stay special to us. It's got to be real to us. It's got to be exciting to us. It's just got to be exciting. Oh, thank God for it. My mind goes back just a moment to when one of the first times, a good many years ago now, I guess, probably 15, 16 years ago, Miss Frances did the celebration of Christ's life, and they came in and put the mangers. Claire was just little. She's sitting in my lap right there on the second row. And people coming by and putting up the main scene, and she kept trying to get up, and I kept trying to get her down. She kept trying to get up, and I kept trying to get her down. I didn't want to distract nobody. And she looked at me and she said, Papa, I just want to see Jesus. She was trying to see Him in the manger. And I just want to see Jesus in this Christmas season. Will you stand with me? And maybe this morning you want to get around this old altar and say, God, make it real to me. I just want to see Jesus. I want this Christmas to be special. I don't want it to be commonplace. I want it to be real. God, I want to see it fresh and new. I want to see the glitter of that star once again. I want to hear the angels say, fear not, I bring good tidings of great joy. I want it to be exciting. I want it to be real. And I want it to be so real that I'll tell others about it. Maybe you just want to get around the altar this morning as a Christian. But if you're not saved, you can come trust Christ. I, Heavenly Father, these are your people. God, I've tried to deliver your message this morning. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God has spoke to hearts. And God, I pray that, Lord, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, or girl on the sound of my voice, God, I pray that nothing in my flesh would hinder the work of the Holy Ghost, that they might get under conviction and be saved. God, draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. I pray, God, this morning that some in the building would take a step of faith and come and trust Christ. Many come around the altar just to pray and seek your face once again. Make Christmas real to me. Don't let it get to be commonplace. He's not just Joseph's son. He's not even Joseph's natural son. He's a supernatural son of God. Oh, God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to make it real to him.